And now, a short story entitled Weight Watcher, read by Ebony Corcoran. I hope you enjoy.
Kathy never spoke about it. Never uttered a single word. Not even to her work colleagues in the savings bank. She felt embarrassed. Ashamed, I suppose. It was something she felt she alone had to deal with, in her own way, in her own time. Oddly, her singular thinking mirrored her private life. Most nights she would sit alone in her plush Sandy Mount apartment, curled up on the sofa, wrapped in her dressing gown and bobby socks, with a bottle of red wine, watching some weepy DVD on the television.
We'll always have Paris.
There was a certain logic to sitting with a box of Kleenex on her lap, crying her eyes out, venting her emotions without the fear of being hurt by another two-timing bastard like Dermot. By bedtime, the waste paper basket was invariably full of soggy tissues and empty Malteser packets, and her nose and eyes puffy and red. Despite the emotional monsoon, she somehow found, as only a woman can, the harrowing experience somehow cathartic. Kathy knew only too well the pain of heartbreak and the dreaded feeling of having been used as a doormat. Though it was a year since Dermot dumped her, she vowed no guy was ever going to hurt her again. Despite being emotionally raw and with her confidence lower than a neaptide, she struggled to resume her life as best she could. Men were shallow, self-centered, megalomaniacs with only one thing on their mind. And when they got it, they were gone again, buzzing like bees in search of another unsuspecting flower. Or in Dermot's case, a new piece of skirt to pollinate. Despite her pledge and her newfound disdain for the opposite sex, it was at the weekends she missed men the most. When she was younger, her whole life was geared towards the weekend. Now she dreaded the loneliness of Saturday nights. With so much time to indulge in self-pity and compound her fears, with thoughts of approaching middle age. Kathy was only 26, but in her troubled mind, she was already a washed-up spinster, destined for the scrap heap of life. Though her head told her to concede and accept defeat, her body screamed out for a lover. A guy she could depend on, and call her own. Some hunk who would wrap her in his brawny arms and make love to her over and over, to the point of sweet exhaustion. Lately, things were getting too much for her. Depression had set in, and no amount of alcohol seemed to numb the emptiness and pain she felt inside. In these dark moments, Kathy had contemplated ending it all. Grafton Street that Saturday afternoon was thronged, and Kathy was lucky to find an empty seat by the window on the second floor of Bewley's Cafe. She liked the bohemian feel, the arty, intellectual vibe of the place. Having ordered a cappuccino and a coffee slice, she immediately felt guilty. It wasn't that she was fat. A tad too plump for her height might be a kinder way of expressing it. Despite attempting numerous diets with little success, she felt somewhat exonerated when she cited comfort eating as the Achilles heel in her battle to recover her once shapely figure. Placing the spoon in her cappuccino, she stirred it absent-mindedly, gazing at the swirling chocolate spirals circling on the creamy top, trying to read them like a fortune teller might tea leaves. Raising her knife, she dissected the coffee slice into 8 neat squares. She was about to pop one in her mouth when she noticed a handsome young guy in his mid-30s, sitting outside on the opposite pavement, visible only for short moments through the gaps afforded by the passing pedestrians. She noticed he had a rough cardboard sign hanging around his neck, and on it, written in black felt pen, were the words, "Hungary, please help." Beneath was an optimistic, "God bless you." She smiled at the spelling, "Hungary." Another dodgy foreigner, she surmised, as she popped the square into her mouth. She had never had a foreign boyfriend, or a holiday romance, not even an innocuous snog. As every woman will tell you, men are all the same. Yet foreign men had the dubious accolade of being, worst of all. What a strange idiosyncrasy, she thought. Glancing out again, she noticed he was too well dressed to be a beggar. He was sitting on a neatly folded jacket. His shoes were highly polished, and he was wearing a crisp white shirt rolled up at the sleeves, exposing tanned muscular arms and an expensive looking watch. She was about to pop another coffee square into her mouth, but refrained and sipped on her cappuccino instead, watching him with intrigue. She tried to imagine what providence could have put him there. She surmised his wallet had been stolen, or some circumstance beyond his control now forced him to beg. Nodding to the waitress, she placed a 10-euro note on the table and headed downstairs. Once outside, she crossed the street, pretending to browse the shop windows while secretly admiring him at closer quarters. He was younger, more handsome than she'd first thought. He had a warm, educated face with wavy blonde hair, flawless tanned skin, and the palest blue eyes she'd ever seen. Should she approach him, she wondered? If she did, what would she say? There was always the option of walking away without uttering a word. "Can I invite you for a meal?" she heard the words flow from her mouth before she could stop herself. "Excuse me?" he said in broken English. Kathy blushed, shrugged her shoulders and smiled nervously. "I was wondering if I could invite you for a meal." "A meal?" Miming, she moved her hands to her mouth and chomped air. "Ah, food." His eyes widened. "Yes, I would love that." "Perfect. Where should we meet?" "Meat would be wonderful," he enthused. No, you misunderstand," she laughed. "I'm asking you where you would like to eat." "Ah, yes, I understand." "When?" "Right now," he grabbed his coat. "If that's okay with you." "Right now?" She was a little taken aback. "Yes, now is a very good time for me." "Sure," she laughed fretfully. "Why not?" Suddenly realizing the consequence of a loose tongue. "Hi, I'm Kathy," she said, shaking his hand. "Emil," he said, gripping her hand tightly, as if not wanting to let go. "Don't you think you should take that thing from around your neck first?" His handsome face broke into a boyish smile, and inside she melted like chocolate in a fondue. "Oh, of course, I forgot. Thank God it's not something I do every day." "I know a lovely restaurant," she said, looking at her watch. "But it doesn't open until 6:30. Perhaps I can invite you for a drink till then?" "Oh, that would be lovely," he said, removing the placard and donning his jacket. That evening was special. She was surprised at how fun-loving, intelligent, and witty Emil was. Initially, she brought him to Brussels, a trendy bar just off Grafton Street. There, Emil sampled his first Guinness. His blue eyes twinkled after having savoured a long, cooling mouthful. "So what is all the fuss about? In the Czech Republic, we have a million beers as good as this." "Perhaps, but none of them are quite so unique, so yin and yang," mused Kathy. "I'm sorry?" "Black and white. Come on, even you have to admit, it's a great-looking pint." "To be honest," he said with a cheeky grin, "it tastes pretty good, too." Later, she sat in a quiet corner of a candlelit restaurant with this handsome stranger. The few drinks she had had in Brussels had fortified her, given her a newfound confidence. The three Guinness Emil had consumed had improved his English beyond recognition. He ordered a pepper steak. She had a prawn curry. Kathy was beguiled and amused as she watched this man-boy wolf his food. At first, his attention seemed to be purely on the food, but later, with his hunger appeased, his attention turned to her. They conversed for hours, sharing amusing little anecdotes and several bottles of her favourite wine. Emil told her he came from a little village of Jeseníc, outside the capital, Prague, and had an honours degree in chemistry. He explained he had flown to Dublin that very morning for an interview with Pfizer, but had his briefcase stolen on the dart, along with his money, credit cards, computer, passport, and flight tickets. He had been booked to fly back that evening, but now he'd have to wait until Monday to get replacement documents from the Czech embassy. Secretly, Kathy was delighted at this stroke of luck, and readily offered him the use of her couch for the weekend. Later they got a taxi back to Sandymount. She sat resting her head upon his shoulders, giggling like a naughty schoolgirl in the back seat, while he told her outrageous stories of his childhood. There was no way she was going to allow him to sleep on her couch, and that night they made love, over and over, like wild animals, till her body ached and she fell asleep in his protective arms, with a weary smile on her lips. They spent all day Sunday in bed, watching Casablanca and Gone with the Wind, drinking wine and making out during their own chosen intervals.
"He's looking at you, kid."
Kathy had never spent an entire day in bed with a man before. Never realised one could have so much fun and pleasure between the sheets. When she woke up on Monday morning, she reached across the bed, but he was gone. The only signs of him having ever been there were an empty wine glass and the stained sheets upon which she lay. She called his name. Emil, are you there? Her cry was met with silence. Shit, 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 she muttered, as she lay back down upon her pillow and stared at the ceiling. Eyes welling, she wiped a tear from her cheek. After much inner turmoil and self-chastising, she gingerly picked herself up and clambered out of bed. Running her fingers through her disheveled hair, she traipsed naked into the sitting room. On the table, she saw a handwritten note, addressed simply, to Kathy. Reaching down, she slowly opened it. Dear Kathy, thank you for making my weekend wonderful. In all the craziness, I forgot to mention, Pfizer offered me a job, so I will be back in Ireland at the end of next week to take up my position. Please get ready to take up yours. With all my love, Emil. P.S. This time dinner is on me. Smiling, she folded the note and headed for the bathroom. She was about to step into the shower when she spotted the dreaded weighing scales. She hesitated a moment before stepping onto them. Reluctantly, she gazed down upon the dial. Her face broke into a beaming smile. She'd lost 7 pounds, 4 ounces. Though she was looking down, things were looking up.
Keep on listening to TRP.